danger zone. We are dangerous to the ruling powers who control the matrix we're living under. I'm Raylan Allen. I'm the publisher of Rumor Mill News, and we're talking with Ed Corsi, who is telling us about Geauga County Constitutional Committee, and we're also talking with Melinda Pillsbury Foster. Many of you here at the microeffect.com radio network already know Melinda, and you've heard lots of her wonderful ideas. And today, what I'm trying to do is bring these two people together with their tremendous knowledge of how to start working at the grassroots level in many different areas to pull the power back. As Ed says, we're going to take our country back one county at a time. And so, Ed, we were still talking. We were talking about how to do this, how to replicate what you're doing.
And yes.
I just want to say that if people want a link to the website, go to rumormillnews.com, go into the reading room, and you will see a line today at RMN Radio. Remember, it's the 5th of November, and it is the 5th of November. And in that post, there are links to the Geauga County Constitutional Committee.
It's the Geauga Constitutional Council.
Oh, excuse me, Geauga Constitutional Council, GCC.
GCC.
And
you know, the other thing is, I'm not the type of person, I like to be behind the scenes doing things. I've never been an out front person. I don't like publicity. I don't like notoriety. But this forced me into the spotlight. I wasn't looking for that type of thing. But you'll get people in your group that are looking for it, and they'll be jealous. They'll want the attention. They'll want the spotlight. They'll have their own agenda within your group. Now, even though you've explained all the guidelines and the mission statement of the group, it'll go past their head. They'll only see it as a platform for themselves. And you have to be able to spot people like this and weed them out of your group quickly, because they will cause a lot of trouble and break up your group. So we have cut down our core member to maybe 6 people, and that's really all we need. I'd like to get it up to 10, so we're looking for about 4 more good ones. But you don't need a large group in the core, because you can accomplish a great deal with letter writing and all these other forms of journalism with just a small handful of people. And we have. But we have a large email list and a large following on our website. So those are the important things. And, of course, our letters to the editor are read by people in our community and even beyond our community. And those have quite an effect on people also. So you don't need a large core group. Those are just the people who help steer everything and organize everything. What you need is a large following so that you can get information out to people and have the avenues to do that. And it's easy, because all you have to do is set up a website, make it interesting, make it easy to navigate, and get out truthful information, select issues. It's important what issues you select. Like, for instance, we jumped right on the Great Lakes Water Compact issue because it is a major, major issue in Geauga County, well, many other places, but especially in Geauga County, because we have all wells out here and ponds and streams. It's a beautiful county. It was rated in Forbes magazine several months ago as the 4th best place to raise a family in the United States. Beautiful county. It's horse country. And so people are concerned about their water rights. And so this is a really big issue. And we jumped on it. But instead of approaching it like, you know, this is in the United Nations Agenda 21, they want to control all the water in the world. We didn't mention a thing about that, because we didn't want to seem like conspiracy nuts. Because, you know, a lot of people have been misled into believing that these are all conspiracy theories, and the people who espouse them are nuts. So,
well, people still feel the same way about the Trans-Texas Corridor, and they're already taking land.
Exactly, exactly. So we came across it, we approached it this way. We said, we, in our flyers and our ads in the magazines and our and any letters we wrote, we just warned people that your water rights are in jeopardy of being controlled by the government through this bill. And when people started reading those words, that really riled them up. They wanted to know more. And they attended, you know, public forums, and I mean, it was a big issue. So you really have to, the way you approach these different subjects that you select, you want to be careful how you do that. Get the truth out and be, you know, don't dance around it. We didn't dance around it. We hit it hard. Hit it real hard, but just don't come across like a wacko. Have really good information, truthful information, do some research. And everybody in the group can divide responsibilities up so that too much is not on one person, because one person can't do it all.
Amen.
And we have some good people. Yeah.
Absolutely. I know,
you know,
our area.
The other thing, too, you know, there's one very important thing that we include in our group. Melinda touched on this briefly a little while ago. What's going on in this country is not between flesh and blood people. This is a spiritual battle that's going on in this country. It's mentioned in Revelations in the Bible, and we make God a part of our group, and we open up our group meetings in prayer every time and depend on Him to give us the power and the strength, because without Him we would have no power and strength to do what we do. A lot of people are afraid to do what we do. Fear is not from God, and fear and lies are tactics used by the government, by the New World Order, by bullies, to intimidate you and get you to do what they want, because you wouldn't do it normally if you knew the truth. So they depend on those tactics to get you to do what they want, to force you. And you can't allow yourself to act upon fear or think upon fear, because it'll nullify you. You'll be ineffective. You can't do something like this.
Yeah,
I'm fearful.
I just wanted to say that our Republican Party opened with a prayer, and when I was there, the chairman of the Republican Party, both of them that were there at the time I was there, they would start with the Declaration of Independence and remind people that our rights come from God. Our nation
right.
was created because our rights come from God, not from the government.
It's
and
right.
people,
government.
Yeah. And people don't realize that the reason many of the socialists and communists in our country are atheists is because they can't believe in God and have a government that is a godless government.
That's
and,
right.
And so I think we're all aligned that, you know, God first, our rights, our freedoms come from God. I mean, just by the mere fact of being born on earth, you know, in some tribe, in some aboriginal country, we were given the right to food, shelter, and the pursuit of our own happiness.
Well,
and
you're
God,
given the
God,
right to pursue your food and your shelter, not to
that's
have
right.
it.
But
yeah,
try living in a communist
of.
Society. And
you know, government cannot give rights. They can only give you privileges. God gives you your birthrights.
Yeah, the birthrights
aren't. You have to pursue those.
They're not affirmative on anybody else. They're your rights. You have a right to take action for
right.
your, you know, for your own benefit. That's very different. And the misuse of the word rights has been one of those sort of foundational problems that we've continued to have. You don't have, you know, a right to health care. You don't have a right to, you know, something specific that somebody has to give you. You have a right to go take action and get it for yourself. It's very
right.
different. And the
yes,
reason
you're right.
that they've done it this way, they wanted to redefine it, was because if you have a right to somebody, then the government, you know, takes the position that it can come in and force somebody else to provide the money to give it to you, which does what? Now, the outcome of that is that it divides us, because you have an anger from people who, they've earned their own money, they put that money together for their own uses and their own from their own interests, and they're being forced to subsidize somebody else. And that's wrong. Everything government does, it has been doing, has the effect of dividing us, which is spiritually incorrect. When people have the opportunity to come together and help each other, and they don't have to, but they can see it's the right thing to do. It's the thing that joins us in the way that Christ asked us to join with each other. Then it is an affirmative. Then we're exercising our rights, but not when we're forced by government to do that.
That's right. That's correct. And
I think what we're all fearing from an Obama government is that right may be taken away from us.
Well, look at just this campaign alone. Look how it has polarized and divided this nation so severely. Just the election alone. And that's done purposely. They love doing that because it weakens us.
Absolutely.
And just think about how much worse it's going to get, because, you know, people are saying, well, with Obama now, he will bring all the races together. He'll give us jobs. He'll do this. None of that is going to happen. These people, excuse me, but I think these people must be smoking something, because they happen. It just isn't going to happen. And it's a false belief. But a time will show them, and they'll be very disappointed. But by that time, it might be too late for them to wake up.
Well,
you know, I can't tell you how many people I've said that to. I've said, okay, we're putting off this conversation. We can have this conversation again in 6 months, and you tell me how you feel and what you think then.
Boy,
and I don't think it's going to take any longer than that.
I don't think so either.
Absolutely perfect. We started a thread over on the Rumor Mill News Readers Room. That's where anybody can join and add their 2 cents to what we're doing. And it was about how people had lost friends, how fathers weren't speaking to daughters, sisters weren't speaking to sisters, mothers weren't speaking to their entire family. This election has been the most divisive election ever in my lifetime, and yet the media absolutely will not report it.
Yes, and you notice that you haven't heard one of these candidates, except for maybe Chuck Baldwin or Ron Paul or people like that. But they were from other parties. But you haven't heard that from the two major parties, either the Democrat or Republican candidate, anything, not one single word about upholding your constitutional rights that have been destroyed or have been crippled or taken away by Bush, by these executive orders and the Patriot Act, etc. You haven't heard one single little mention about any of this, which are probably some of the most important issues facing us today.
Well, yes, but they're the ones that took them away, so why would they be so rude as to mention it?
Exactly, but people aren't getting it. People are not getting this. They're just voting on, oh, Obama said, he said so my home will be saved. Well, 6 months from now when she's out on the streets, she's going to have to rethink that. But
it reminds me of the speech that was given up in Canada by Kiefer Sutherland's famous grandfather, whose name I can't remember. But he gave a speech on the cats and how the mouses keep electing the cats. And then the mouses get really upset because the black cat hasn't done any good for them, so they elect the white cat. And the white cat doesn't do any good for them, so they elected a black and white cat, and the black and white cat didn't do anything for them. And so finally the mouses woke up and realized that they're cats. They don't like mouses.
Yeah,
we're mouses. They love to eat them. And it's like the fat cats. We're the mouses. The fat cats are exploiting us. They're eating us.
Well, of course. I mean, and I have to tell you, this goes to the issue of the rhetoric. They'll say anything, but they're just lying. If you believe anything a politician says, God help you, because they're lying. I mean, they study lying. They understand that they're lying. Their campaign managers study how they can spin issues so that perhaps it doesn't seem quite like they're lying.
Yeah, pathological lying.
It is an art form for them.
It is an art form for them. And once you get it, and see, this goes to the issue. Now, why is it that people think that you can say one thing and then really disbelieve the words? Why, the credit card thing, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we accept the same standard in politics. And everybody just goes right along acting like that's, well, of course, I mean, they just said that we all know that's just politics. What they've done is they have depreciated the value of truth. And, you know, remember that classical moment? It was in South Carolina, the Republican presidential debate, and Ron Paul said, we just walked in, we can just walk out. And it was like, oh, what did that man say? Oh, my God. I just practically fell on the floor laughing because of the look on the other candidates' faces.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was a
wonderful moment because it was the truth. Why can't we just walk out? Of course we can.
Yeah. One of the things I love about Joe Biden is he's got this incredible ability of telling the truth, even when it makes his party and him and the entire government look like idiots. And he's a pathological liar like the rest of them, but every now and then the truth slips out of his mouth.
Yeah, I don't think you can attain these levels of government with very rare exception without being a pathological liar.
Yes, but you know what that says? It means we should stop accepting these lies. As a matter of fact, and you know what? This is the other thing about government we have to keep in mind. It is a moral hazard for people who are morally vulnerable. And anybody who goes into politics, you have to assume that they're morally vulnerable. And so there's a level of accountability there. What we need to do is ensure that they aren't made more vulnerable so that they get away with lying to us. So we need very strong disincentives for lying. And since we're not going to do that, the other thing that you can do is, again, take it back to the most local county level, because when you actually know FERD, you know, FERD is the name I use for your sort of generic politician. When you know FERD, who's on the school board, and you see him coming out of the porn shop, well, you know who FERD is, right? Because you've had experience with him, or he happens to be the guy that you saw, who borrowed your lawnmower and didn't bring it back. Because he's in your community. The reason community-based governance works is because it gives you the human ability to know somebody well enough to know they're lying to you and not mistake that, you know, them smiling at you from the screen or the podium for a relationship. And unfortunately, cognitively, we're set up to be kind of taken advantage of that way.
Melinda, let me give you a perfect example of that just happening in our community in Geauga County here. It's an exact scenario, what you just described. We have one of the races was for Geauga County Recorder, and we backed the person that we were backing, of course, is very honest and very qualified, believes in the Constitution, and, you know, she had all the qualities that we look for, and I know her very well. The person that she was opposing, who was a Democrat, was an incumbent, but he was never elected to that position. He was appointed because of the previous recorder leaving, so he was appointed. Now, whoever appointed him, the Democratic Party didn't vet this guy properly, or if they did, they didn't care. But the community did not know about his past. He had worked for one of the local papers here, as a matter of fact, in early 2000, like 2002, 3, and 4. And he had a paper out, and he was supposed to turn in, you know, collect money on his paper out, and then turn it into the paper. Well, he wasn't turning all of it in. In other words, he was embezzling. And no one in the community knew about this, so we started posting this. We waited till close to the election time so it would be fresh in people's minds. We had known about this for months and months before, but we waited. And we started putting this information out, and it was truthful. We weren't mudslinging. It was just truthful information. We had court records that we put out and showed people, that we gave them links to go to on our site to do that and everything. And it showed, you know, it exposed this man for what he was. How can you trust this man? Now much more money is going to be in his control, millions instead of, you know, just what he was doing on his paper route. And he lost by a huge margin, by a landslide. He lost because we exposed him. And this is what has to be done. And this is what you can do in your local communities to keep bad people out.
That is an incredible story. Next week sometime, I'm going to have on Jack and Ange from Disclosure Newspaper. And what they have done is they have started a small community newspaper where they do exactly what you're doing. They expose the corruption in their own county.
Now, that's a great idea, is starting another local community paper to do that. That's another, just another avenue to do it. It's great.
And Jack and Ange said that they would love to help people learn how to do this in their own community. And so as soon as I get them on, I'll let you know so that you can listen. And, of course, we record all of these and put them. We'll be putting them up on the RumorMillNewsRadio.com website so that you'll be able to get in touch with these people. Running a newspaper is a 24-hour-a-day job. And so if you're going to do this, you're going to have enough money to start it and enough time and friends, you know, to volunteer their time. You're not going to be able to pay anybody or make any money for the first few years. But, boy, the difference they've made in their town.
Well, you can make a huge difference. And, I realized a long time ago that I looked at how fascists and communists have overtaken countries. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, and I don't care who it is or what country you're talking about. One of the most important things and tools that they use is journalism because it is so influential to people.
Exactly.
And it's a very valuable tool and powerful tool. So I thought to myself, well, if it's so powerful for them, we can turn it right around on them and use it for the truth, and it could be just as powerful, if not more, for the truth. And so I felt that journalism was a very important part of our program, letter writing. If we expect people in our core group to write letters weekly, and if they don't, if they're slack in that, then we replace them because that's an important component of what we do. And it doesn't, you don't have to be, to be a letter writer, you don't have to speak eloquently or fancy. All you have to do when you write a letter is just make it simple. Keep it simple so people can understand it, like you're talking to somebody at dinner in a restaurant. That's all you have to do. You don't have to be some kind of whiz or a reporter or trained in letter writing. Just write it like you're talking to somebody. So letter writing is a very important thing we do, along with all these other things, the blog site, all the other things I mentioned. And you have to keep these letters coming out on these different issues over and over again. People do read the letters to the editors in the papers. A lot of people read those sections. They're really hotbeds of activity. And you can have a lot of influence in your community through the letters to the editors in your local papers. What we've done also to make it easy is I've compiled a list of the papers, their phone numbers, addresses, and their email address so that you can print it out, keep it right next to your computer, or put their email addresses in your address book. So let's say it takes you a half hour just to put a letter together. Boom, you blast it out to all the papers. I do blank carbon copy. I mail it to myself, and then I blank carbon copy all the papers because you don't want them to see the same letter going to all the other papers because then it might turn them off. They might not print yours. So you do a blank carbon copy.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I put up on Rumor Mill News is a mailing list for our media where all you have to do is copy all the email addresses and put it into that BCC, the blind carbon copy, address, and you can write one letter, and with the click of a mouse, you can send it to, 500 different newspapers.
That's right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
What
so
I
we are we are expanding our newspaper list throughout Ohio. We're picking other major cities in Ohio to expand our letters to the editor to, because some of the issues we write about are not local, but they're statewide,
mm-hmm.
and some are local. So we're expanding our list. But, some papers, if you're from out of town, if you're not in their area, they will not accept your letter, and some will. So you have to find out which ones will.
Yep. Well, we're approaching the time where I'm going to have to go back to work at that company store for all of this. But before we get to that time, I want us to start thinking about how can the listeners out there, what steps can they take to begin to form exactly what you, Ed, have formed? And Melinda, how can they take steps to network with all of the different people that you are networking with? And one of the things, Melinda, I'd like to talk about is this barter. And I don't think that's what you call it, but it's almost a new money system that's being created.
Well, it is. It's a new monetary system, a Fourth Corner Exchange that's doing that. Really great group, and the theory they're using is really kind of, it's really hard.
Let's get into that after I go put in my few minutes in the company store.
They pay minimum wage and take halfback taxes. Working for the company store.
Zone again. I'm the publisher of RumorMillNews.com, and you're on Rumor Mill News Radio. And we're talking to Ed Corsi of the Geauga Constitutional Committee, and we're talking to Melinda Pillsbury Foster. Sorry for screwing up on your introductions. I want to invite our callers to call in, and so let me give out the telephone number. That's 888-747-1968. 888-747-1968. What better and easier number to remember than that number? And so what I'd like to do right now is for both of you to kind of think a little bit, and I'm sure you've already got answers to this, but what are the first steps that people need to take in their own little communities or lives, or maybe someone's in New York City listening? How does somebody in New York City organize what you guys are talking about? So, Melinda, do you want to go first?
Sure. Well, and actually, I've done quite a bit of thinking about this, and the first thing that I would do is do an analysis of your own community. Take a look at what you have there as resources, because that's really what you're going to be working with. Then we have a tendency, all of us, to focus on the things we already know about because they're familiar, but sometimes those aren't going to be the best things to use. Sometimes we really need to do some, forward planning. You know, for instance, I had a strong background in politics, and so, of course, I would think about political organizations first. But if you take a look at what you're really trying to accomplish with an organization, or reorganizing your county, think about all of those elements. We have what I call the civic sector. The civic sector is all of the organizations that they've taken on some duty in the county, in the area. They're providing something. Find out about those organizations and what they're doing. There are many things that you're going to need to have done that may be natural extensions of what those organizations are already doing. And you want to know that and be able to point it out to them, because it can be a win-win. You can help them grow in a way that they would really like to grow. You can call them to a duty that they're going to feel moved to undertake. And make personal contact with all of those people. Let them know that you value what they are doing. If you are ready to share with them something you think that they could take up, find a way and a time to do that. Share something about what you're doing that is going to make their job easier. You know, case in point, there are people who now working on food banks or working with the elderly in California. They're defunding all of those programs. How can a community come together? Be prepared to provide those resources. Know the people. What I do is I set up a Farley file. A Farley file is a political tool that translates very well to this use. What you do is you set up a file for each individual you're going to be having interaction with all of their contact information, what you know about them, what you find out about them as you go along. And so you remember, oh, yeah, we had coffee that day, and thus and such happened. When you start to make contact with a lot of people, it can be hard to remember all of those things. And it makes it much easier when you're putting people together to go back and look and see, yes, it was Sylvia who told me about this, her aunt who had provided this thing in the community that has made a huge difference. And that way you can give appropriate credit and be accurate. And it's important to be accurate with people. It makes them feel good, and it makes you feel good, too, because you've done the thing that's right. Keep, you know, be accurate. Be the truth yourself. Know your community. Know what the problems are going to be that you're going to be facing. If you're going to have a problem with restoration of infrastructure, know about that. Take a look for resources and find ways that those problems can be solved so that you have solutions to offer. If you see that there's a lot of foreclosures going on, make available ways for people to deal with that in whatever way seems to be most comfortable, you know, with that for them. In each case, that's what you're doing. You're looking at the problems and finding the solutions that are going to help people deal with the problems. So that's what I do.
And all of the different people that you have networked with across the country, how are you bringing those people together?
Well, I keep in touch with them. You have to keep in touch with people because a lot of people aren't very good at keeping in touch with other people. And like I said, I make notes. I call them up. I talk to them about what they're doing. If I see that they're doing something, you know, really great and nice, I want to let them know that I really appreciate doing.
Now, on your website that you gave out, do you want to give that out again? I've got it linked.
That's
over.
AmericaGoesHome.org.
Now, on that web page, are you having links to all of the various people that we have talked about?
Yes. As we're getting them up, we put up the links so people can get a hold of those people directly, because that's the best, most efficient thing to do.
Absolutely. And so, Ed, let's give it to you now. Now, you tell us how you would advise somebody to start what you have started.
Well, you know, it's going to differ from county to county, and it would really depend on the makeup and the atmosphere of the county, and also the elected officials in that county, like the state representatives and state senators, the local sheriff, the judges, mostly the sheriff and the legislators in your county. Now, we work closely with a state senator in Ohio who is like-minded, and our sheriff, we're very fortunate to have a sheriff who takes the Constitution seriously and who wants everyone here to be armed. he's very much for the Second Amendment. He advocates that everybody be armed, and which is great. And, you know, and also he's one of the few sheriffs in the country that has a prison ministry in his jail, so that people can hear the word of God and maybe get themselves on the right track. And the recidivism rate, which is the rate when convicts are released, the rate at which they come back for committing another crime, when you have something like that in a prison system, it is drastically, the recidivism rate is drastically reduced. And so we have a unique situation here, which made it easier for me to accomplish this. But what we did was, I realized right away that in order for our group to be catapulted rapidly into notoriety and credibility, we had to align ourselves with. We had to get on board the Great Lakes Water Compact issue, which was a hot issue, and start exposing that, and then align ourselves with somebody, with an elected official who was very popular, such as the state senator that we work with. He's extremely popular simply because he does not represent big money interests or party. He represents the people, and he works for them, and they know that about him, and that's what makes him so popular out this way. And so those two things have really helped catapult us. Now, we did a public forum with him speaking about the Great Lakes Water Compact, and, you know, when you have to align yourselves with people who already have a following, who are popular, who are like-minded, you know, an elected official, and that could really help a group to catapult itself, you know, quickly. And pick the right issues. That's another important thing, because if you pick the wrong issues, you're not going to get the interest of people. And be interesting and informative and get the truth out there, because people are hungry for that. And you have to have money, too. You have to have some money to do some of these things, because ads in the paper can add up. Running a forum, you know, putting on a forum, you have to notify people that you're having the forum so that you get good attendance, and that means you have to put ads in the paper. We put half-page ads in a couple of the local papers when we have forums, and we blast it out. Having a large email list from members of your community, which takes time to build up, but if you have these forums and then have people sign up on your email list at these forums, that's a great way to expand your local community email list rapidly. And your email list will help you eventually cut down on costs, because if it becomes large enough, you can get the information out to the community just through your email list, and through the blog, and your website would be another source to do that. So these are all valuable tools to use in getting the group going rapidly, building it rapidly. And
well, now, how did you raise the money to do all of the things that you're doing?
Well,
because there's a lot of people that don't have any money.
Well, that's true. So what I did was, some of it comes out of my pocket, and I have a friend who's wealthy, and he finances a lot of it. So I'm fortunate. You know, a lot of people won't be that fortunate to have a wealthy friend that would want to do that. So what you can do is get, when you have these forums, just ask people to contribute $2 apiece. And there's, you know, when they're at the forum, don't advertise it, but when they're at the forum, have a some kind of collection thing for money, whether it be a jar or whatever you want, and ask people to just contribute $2 a piece, because you have cost. It took money to let them know about the form and everything, and you need a little bit of help, and people would be glad to part with $2. That's nothing. If you get 100 people at the forum, or 75 or whatever, 200, or you can make a little money that way, or you can also find people, business owners or other people, who might be willing to finance you, maybe give you $50 a month or $100, whatever you can get. Out of anybody you can get it. I mean, there are different methods. You could have fundraising dinners, spaghetti dinners. You can come up with all different kinds of creative ways to raise money for your group.
I've done a lot of fundraising for political candidates, and you know, it's always third party candidates. Well, for the most part, I've done Republicans too. But there's lots of interesting, innovative things you can do. You can do a Chinese auction. You ask people to donate interesting stuff, and then they donate it, and you auction it off at a dinner. You know, people feel great about that, because they've bought the dinner. They're being entertained. Chinese auctions can be very funny too, and people appreciate that. Never underestimate. One of the best fundraisers we ever did, and this was a libertarian fundraiser, and it wasn't my idea. A guy came out from the East Coast to do it. But he did it with pieces of 8.5 by 11 paper and a pen. And we raised, we raised over $10,000, which was a lot of money for us back in the 80s. And he said, "Which government agency do you hate the most?" And he got somebody to start. He said, "We're going to put this one aside," because it was the IRS, and a lot of people hated that one. But then he said,
"That's always the first one."
And then he had this whole list, and he said, "Who would like to be the one that is the one that delivers the word to this bureau that they're out of business. And people said, I want to do that. And he said, how much? And so he built this wall. And then people had to pay to rip it down. And they were just going nuts. And I'll tell you, the bidding on the IRS was intense.
Oh, my God, what an incredible thing. How many people were at that place when you were doing that?
Probably 50.
That's just incredible. Well,
you know, always innovation. Do something that is a variation, something that hasn't been done before, something that gets to the heart of whatever it is you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be nice to have something that people can take away with them. We did, you know, one where it was you got your ticket punched, and it was just a little piece of paper, and you had your ticket punched, and we punched it right there. And they donated. They felt good about that because it was the only people who got it were the people who, you know, who had actually done something. And people want to be validated.
What a great idea. I just got a Skype message from a listener. Well, she's a friend of mine, but she's also a listener in New York City. And she wants to know, she lives in a high-rise in New York, how in the world can she do this? Do you have any suggestions?
How can she start a group?
How can she start? And where? She wants to know how she can start and where she starts.
Well, she's got the people right there, flyer. Put a flyer at each door.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then after they do that.
This is a problem that we have. How can we handle it and make it very real problems? Like, I mean, she's in a perfect position to start a Wi-Fi. And once you've got a Wi-Fi and people are on the same network, you know, they can go and look at the same resources. People in New York have all the same problems. They're going to have problems with making sure they eat healthy. You could start an eating healthy thing so that, you know, you're doing a co-op thing. You're bringing in food from someplace where they're getting better quality food. And they don't
right.
having to go out. They aren't having to get a cab. That's another one of the things. If you're in New York, are you going to get a cab? You're going to try to take your groceries on. If you're going to, you know, go to one of the markets that's, you know, further out, are you going to, you know, take the subway and then have to get on a train? It can be a pain in the neck.
We're fortunate in Geauga County because we have the Amish out here, and they grow their own food, and so that's a source for us. But other places aren't going to have that.
Well, I know there's a big gardening community in New York City where they're turning all the roofs into community gardens.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody out there listening who is doing this, please let me know. You can reach me at rumormail, RUMORMAIL, at mindspring.com. If you haven't hooked up the Rumor Mill News Radio email yet, it's coming, but we haven't done it yet.
Well, you know, plus the other thing is sprouting. You could be in an apartment in New York and sprout a lot of different kinds of vegetable seeds and bean seeds. Sprouting is so healthy, and it just, you know, that you can add that to part of the your food regimen.
I know. I've got friends in New York who grow tomatoes and zucchini in those hanging baskets. And
sure.
So the tomatoes and the zucchini hang down. They in the wintertime, they grow them near the steam heat. And they also grow lettuce. They grow sprouts. They grow herbs. And so, you know, they could literally feed themselves as long as they have water.
Right. Yeah, there's you can, even in an apartment, you can grow some food for yourself. It's better if you're in a rural community where there's farming, because then you have the Amish or other farmers who have cattle, chickens, eggs, you know, all kinds of food like that. But even in those areas, you can sprout, grow things on your own land or in your own apartment. I mean, there's a lot of resources out there, but, Now, one thing that I'll be working with Melinda on, and you also, Raylan, is to create kind of a cookie cutter here so that people can use this cookie cutter method, like a McDonald's, to replicate what we're doing.
Well, that's exactly what I think is needed. I was talking about, you know, the ability to replicate your web page, and, you know, voila, suddenly everybody in the country can have this particular web page. And I don't exactly know how to do it in your case, but I know that it is done in many, many, many different companies. And something like this would be one of the first steps toward taking this all across the country. And
the webpage is important. The way I have this set up is I looked at many, many different templates, and I didn't like any of them. This was kind of more custom-made for me by a company actually right in my community. And they do a very good job, and they're very good at, I very rarely have any problems, but they're very good at solving them, and they set this up for me, and I really like how they set it up. I told them this is the way I wanted it, and they set it up for me, and it just works out very well. It's easy to navigate. You can find information easily. I really like working with it, but it's going to be very important for anyone who wants to start something like this. I think it's going to be critical for them to have a website.
Absolutely.
In order to communicate and get information out and for all kinds of things. I think it's going to be critical.
And if our listeners don't know web work or computer work, I used to be an adult education teacher, and I taught computers. To people who did not, actually I taught computers to people who spoke English and to people who didn't speak English. And you would be surprised how much you can learn from your local adult school, and it's free.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, I hate computers myself, I really do, and I get very frustrated on them. And before I started this group, I knew very little about them because I never used them. But now I'm using it all the time because I'm forced to, because of the formation of this group. It forces me to. And I've been up many nights till 5 and 6 in the morning just trying to figure something out, and I've learned a lot that way. Of course, you lose some sleep that way, but I've learned so much in the past, since January, about how to operate this thing, and but I've lost a lot of sleep doing it, so...
You know, those of us who do this work, we're driven, and we learn to get by with no sleep.
Right. That's a good point, too, because you must find people for your core group. Don't make the core too big. Maybe start off with four or five. If you can start off with four or five good people, and I mean dedicated people who will get up off their butts and do something, then you've got something going there, something powerful. But you want to make sure you don't get people who just use this group as like a little get-together every couple weeks to get out of the house or for their entertainment or for socializing. You want people who are dedicated to this, who will actually do work. Writing a letter every week shouldn't take that long, maybe an hour a week. Sometimes if you have to do a little research, maybe a couple hours a week, but that's not much. It's not much time to dedicate to your freedom, to preserving your freedoms.
I'll tell you, I've got a friend who's a quilter, and she said that whenever she goes to her quilting, when her quilting people, partners, are making quilts, each one of them brings to the quilting circle something important for the community, something that they need to know. And if you've got a quilting circle, if you've got any kind of group, another friend has a literary group that meets in her house, and she's incorporated that. And so there's so many different ways to get this thing started.
Sure, there are many different ways to get it started. Another thing too, this was in January. You know, Ron Paul was going hot and heavy then, and there were all kinds of Ron Paul
meetup groups. Mm-hmm.
And we did have them out here in this county. And so some of the people from that group, you know, joined this group. Unfortunately, we had to get rid of those people because they were the disruptors in the group. Can you believe that?
Well,
we had a common... I was shocked. It was ego. One person wanted more attention. They wanted the attention I was getting. They didn't like me. They wanted to be the head. You know, there was just all kinds of ego, and some of them had their own agenda that they wanted to bring into this group. And you have to retain your focus. So I had to get rid of them. And now the group is going much smoother. But even with like-minded people, you have to be careful because you're not always going to, they're not always going to be able to stay focused.
Now, one of the things, do you follow Robert's rules in your meetings, or how do you even conduct a meeting?
I follow Edmund's rule.
Edmund's rule. That's your Edmund.
Right.
Okay. because I know it was so difficult. I not only was I a member of the Republican Central Committee, but before that I was a Democrat. And just conducting our normal meetings, we had to follow Robert's rules. And in many ways, it really does. What should I say? It stops problems before the problem has a chance to arise. However, you know, I just have to think, my God, the Robert's rules, they control. So I think I would rather follow Edmund's rules.
One of the things you might consider doing is doing a workshop on effective listening or nonviolent communication. That has helped a lot of groups be more effective because oftentimes, you know, people simply aren't effective communicators. They have anxieties. It helps people get win-win outcomes.
Absolutely.
For, you know, so that everybody feels good about the interaction and they all feel like they're accomplishing what they need to get out of the group.
Oh, and my gosh, we're approaching the time.
I have experiences with people in groups who there was something that they needed, and they needed to make sure that they got what they needed. And then they went off very happy and contented doing what they were going to be doing.
How do they get in touch with you, Melinda?
Well, you can go online. Marshall Rosenberg Nonviolent Communication. There are workshops all over the country.
No. Melinda, we're just about out of time. Tell them how to get in touch with you.
You can get in touch with me through themelinda@gmail.com.
And, Ed, how can they get in touch with you?
They can send me a note through, they can send it to, edit, well, on my site it tells them how to contact me, but they can also directly send a letter to editor@geaugaconstitutionalcouncil.org.
And I want to thank both of you for being my guests, and I want to tell everyone, Deneen Peterson from the North American Union is going to be my guest tomorrow, followed by a world-class astrologer who is going to clue us in to something really important, an earth-changing time that is coming up very, very soon. So this is Raylan from RumorMillNews.com, and you've been listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on TheMicroEffect.com. Thank you so much. See you here tomorrow.
Nobody said nary word. Just handed freedom over, went right on back working, never again to be heard. Working for the company store.